This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, this is Resource Center, and I'm Frida Liu, Melati Sanaya, and Wong Elaine from Advertising and Marketing Magazine. And it's time for our weekly marketing mojo, but it's not a weekly dose. It's going to be a six-month dose. What we're going to be doing this week is actually just recapping what made headlines in the marketing world for the first half of this year. And what would you say would be the global stories in terms of what made headlines?
Well, afternoon, Frida. I don't think there was a single session we had on Marketing Mojo this year where we didn't mention Facebook.
So. It wouldn't be a show otherwise.
That's true. Earlier this year, there was much ado about its new timeline, which was basically forced upon all Facebook users. Some liked it, some didn't. In any case, the new timeline fan page format is said to allow brands to rework their consumer engagement strategies. Facebook also launched a new range of ad products earlier this year for marketers to better target its 800 million plus user base. And in January this year, it introduced Sponsored Stories, which essentially integrates your friends' activities into small ads. So it later expanded the placement of these ads from the right side of your home screen to them being placed within your news feed and specifically for its mobile app. As you all know, Facebook also went public last month, but not without much fanfare. Unfortunately for Facebook and its investors, its IPO came short of expectations, with some calling it a disaster. And ahead of its IPO announcement last month, the Wall Street Journal reported that GM, General Motors, would stop running paid ads on Facebook. The Wall Street Journal also pegged GM's Facebook budget at $30 million spent on content, such as page management, and $10 million spent on ads. I think GM's decision had made many brands stop and question the value of placing ads on social media. So is GM onto something here by making this decision? I think only time will tell. Meanwhile, if you want to read a more in-depth report on this, get hold of a copy of our June issue. The first half of this year also saw Facebook going on a shopping spree with a number of acquisitions. After its purchase of location sharing service Gowalla, it went on to purchase Instagram at a cost of $1 billion, making this its single largest acquisition yet. So it then launched its own camera app called Camera, which among its other features allows users to tap a person in a photo in order to tag them. Just 2 weeks ago, it made another acquisition by buying a facial recognition startup called Face.com. Facebook has, however, been keeping mum on what the Face.com team will be working on. So in May, it launched a new app center allowing users to find mini programs such as Pinterest or Draw Something to plug into their Facebook account.
All right. So the $1 billion will be etched in our minds forever. Yes. In terms of creativity with the companies they've bought, they've got this own camera app called Camera. And they bought a company called Face.com. You know, I always wonder about these things, though, whether it's the whole issue of privacy and all that. I guess it's a great app for some people.
I think it definitely will be an issue going forward.
And we'll see. Probably in the second half of 2012 when
we'll
do our...
add it into our roundup.
Yes. What else do you have?
We have social media done right by Kony. So not many could forget the one video which made headlines in March this year, Kony 2012. The video was by US social activist group Invisible Children, and to date it has received over 90 million views and over 8,000 likes on Facebook. Well, the video actually called for the arrest of Ugandan war criminal Joseph Kony, who had been accused of abducting children and forcing them to become child soldiers, and it urge people to mobilize and demand for his arrest. The video itself, sparked off heated debate, both positive and negative. On one hand, it did mobilize people from different parts of the world in a single cause. But on the flip side, it was also said to have manipulated and presented the problem facing the country in a too simplified manner. Some even claim that the video itself was a hoax. But controversies aside, many experts viewed it to be a social media genius.
That we cannot deny.
Yes. I mean, the fact that the video was anchored with a clever use of Facebook's new application timeline, like Elaine said earlier, it placed the narrative of what happened in a chronological order, which made it more relevant to the audience. Another thing that was quite interesting about the video was that it was 30 minutes long. A lot of people say that
More than 10 minutes you lose people's attention, but no.
Yeah, it still managed to get them to respond and to the call of action. So the campaign itself had a strong branding to it. The Kony 2012 had a logo, tagline, posters which looked quite Obama-esque, and bracelets and action kits to get to help people mobilize and carry forward for the campaign. So Facebook is the key anchor for most causes to spread their message. I think after all, you know, you find it, most of the people are on Facebook. So the last one I noticed was PETA as well. They launched a campaign online against Uniqlo where they called for retailers to boycott the wool used from sheeps that were genetically bred to have wrinkly skin. So many companies including H&M, Muji and Liz Carbon joined the campaign, but Uniqlo refused to take action. So the Facebook campaign mainly asked people to ask Uniqlo to stop selling wool from mutilated sheep. So I think the campaign did receive quite a lot of buzz at the beginning of this month, but has quite died down since then. But going back to Kony, so did the campaign actually fulfill its aim? The answer to that question we can only know by the end of this year, because the video did call for Kony to be arrested before December 2012.
So we'll see whether the public makes enough noise and you know, and again, you know, whether it's true or not true, whether it's a hoax, I guess it needs a little bit more in depth, but it's powerful what social media can do. Right.
Starting February this year, the bank that's known to be the world's local bank, which is HSBC, is not so local anymore, as the bank has decided to drop the tagline for all its advertising material.
Yes.
It was good. It was what defined HSBC, I think.
Yeah.
But it said that it would gradually phase out this global brand strategy, the world's local bank, because it actually the move comes at a time when the bank is going through great change. Its CEO, Stuart Gulliver, warned in August last year that the bank will cut up to 30,000 jobs around the world by 2013 and rethink its strategy in many markets globally. So the bank's decision to scrap the world's local bank, which was actually launched back in 2002, is actually to reflect its new strategy and have a new conversation with its customers and the markets that it operates in. On the bank's new approach, there would be no tagline. Instead, its new campaign and brand positioning would highlight four aspects of HSBC's strategy. Its presence in growth markets and businesses, that's one. Secondly, focus on markets where wealth is being created. Emphasis on retail banking and global connectivity.
Be interested to see what's going to happen next, because it's been a long while since there was a tagline which I would remember and thought it was good.
Yeah, and the world's local bank, you know, connect to it.
It's like it was just, you know, like I guess a couple of things would be, you know, what was good for you, Milo is good for you, whatever. You know, we grew up with that. That's what you remember. I could be wrong, but there were just some couple of taglines that you think and really reflects the brand or
and connects back to the brand.
All right, and another one which you thought was worthy was Oreo turning 100.
Yes, actually, Nestle. So this year marks 100th year for Nestle's presence in Malaysia. Can you believe that it's been that long?
Speaking of Milo.
And Malaysians, as far back as we can remember, we grew up with this brand. I mean, products like Maggi, Milo are some staples in everyone's home. So it's only apt that Nestle launched a 360-degree campaign, which involved TVC, on-ground activity, print ads, social media, and a competition as well, which encouraged the public to share their incredible stories growing up with Nestle. So people can share their stories on the website until end of November this year. So to date, there has been over 9,000 stories which has been shared on the site. So regional head managing director for Nestle, Peter Vog, said that the brand achieved 16% growth in revenue in 2011, with capital expenditure at RM 180 million for 2012. The 100th year celebration campaign would cost Nestle more than 1 million. So Nestle engaged with McCann Erickson as its creative agency, Mindshare for media buying, and Media Concise as its digital agency for the whole campaign.
All right. And I guess that's for the global news. And we'll cover the local news that made news in the first half of this year with Melati Sanaya and Wong Elaine from Advertising and Marketing Magazine, Resource Centre, BFM 89.9. It's Resource Center. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu, Melati Sanaya, and Wong Elaine from Advertising and Marketing Magazine for Marketing Mojo. And it's Marketing Mojo that talks about the highlights that made it for the first half of this year in the marketing world. And we covered global stories. And as usual, we move on to the local stories. But what do you think were the key highlights in the local space for this year?
Social media takes the number one position again.
Surprise, surprise.
As we all know, social media is a double-edged sword. And for the first half of this year, at least, I think a few brands got a taste of the more negative side of this platform. Definitely, we can't go without mentioning KFC, which aggravated its customers at the end of last year when it pulled the plug on its free coupon deal a day after its launch, leaving many Malaysians deprived of their chicken burgers. So naturally, the first thing consumers turn to vent their frustration is Facebook, where angry messages were posted for the world to see and share. Even the boycott KFC Facebook page was created, I think, just to prove to the fast food chain just how annoyed the consumers were. And that incident eventually died down, but not long after that, a video surfaced.
Yeah.
Who can forget that video, which was, I think, to me, one of the biggest no-nos a business can possibly commit, having employees harass and attack consumers. Naturally, the video generated a lot of buzz. At this point, I think KFC had decided that perhaps it had gotten messy enough, and they issued an official apology. These incidents have no doubt left a bad taste in everyone's mouths, but I must say that it's clear the fast food chain is actually doing the best they can to redeem themselves. They've launched new products over the last few months, and they've also launched a new site called KFC Snacks, and they just basically just soldiered on, which is rather commendable, I must say. But I think KFC wasn't the only brand to have social media blues. In the US, a Twitter campaign initiated by McDonald's ended badly when users began tweeting their unpleasant experiences using a hashtag that was initially meant for users to share good memories. So what happened was that the hashtag was pulled 2 hours after it was promoted. But back on the local front, the latest social media blunder, which I'm sure is still fresh in everyone's minds, involves Paradigm Mall.
Where magic happens.
Yes.
Paradigm Mall.
So its response was very sarcastic. It went viral. Some say it was orchestrated, and if that's true, it definitely backfired on them.
I don't know. So I don't see how, if it was orchestrated, anything good
would happen from that.
Okay.
Well, they got Harry Potter to send his CV.
The mall apologized over the incident and seems to be back on track. I think if we're to learn anything from this, it's that if you're a business and you want to be on social media, have a team of mature professional moderators or managers who can stay calm amidst negative comments and complaints.
And I think also if you want to people also expect an instant response to everything, but what you can actually do is just say that we will definitely respond to you within 24 hours during certain times. And so people's expectations are, okay, fine, they won't respond now, but they will get back to me
definitely
a little later. And also, MAS, huh?
Yes, Malaysia Airlines, despite reporting RM 2.5 billion loss in 2011, its marketing budget for 2012 was double. So some of the marketing plans outlined by the airlines was to provide a better, more branded customer experience, and it embarked on a major advertising and promotional campaign for 2012. It launched an aggressive campaign for its latest Airbus A380-800, which broke away from its regular corporate identity. So the airline purchased 6 new carriers, and all with its blue exterior and modern front in contemporary colours while still retaining its wow heritage.
Our flag.
Yes.
The wow bule.
Wow bule. The shift, according to the airlines, was a better showcase of its premium offering. So the new identity livery, launched in both print and online ads, rolled out all across all Malaysian Airlines 380 collaterals and touch points in the months. It also recently concluded its Big Flight YouTube campaign, which called for Malaysians aged 18 years above to submit a creative short video to win a seat on board the Mars New A380. So the shortlisted videos were uploaded onto YouTube, and the top 8 got a free joyride for the
lovely, like. Lovely. Sorry, did I say kite? A flag? I meant kite. I can't remember if I said flag. I meant kite. All right. Any other interesting stories?
Yes. The past few months, we saw the Star launching iSnap. It's actually proof that digital is the way to go, especially for traditional media. iSnap was quite a game changer on the local front, where newspaper readers had a new way of interacting with ads and its news articles. It was backed by brands such as Prudential, Canon, Toyota, Masing, Shell, and the iSnap presents a new avenue for brands to, in a way, integrate the new service with the existing campaign. So for brands such as Shell, the function allowed readers to have a deeper level of engagement with its advertisements and also take the brand experience to a higher level. I think we are only just getting a taste of great things to come with smartphones and tablets. Traditional media really do have to evolve with the times and go digital if they want to stay relevant. And with the iSnap, I think the Star not only went digital with its content, but it also gave its advertisers a value-added service or platform to promote their brand and campaigns.
Yeah, and I think also recently Economist showed that they had a profit, and it was largely through the online space.
Yes.
Right.
So the next one is YouTube arriving, making its mark in Malaysia, and it officially launched in March this year. And this is following its other entries into markets such as Singapore and Philippines, which was last year. So the launch of YouTube Malaysia was backed by its first advertising partners that included Maxis, Dutch Lady, Standard Chartered Malaysia, and Malaysia Airlines. Timothy Johnson, head of marketing at Standard Chartered Malaysia, said that YouTube's presence in Malaysia meant that it was able to provide its customers with more relevant Malaysia-centric news and information. So we asked brands at that time if they had any concerns having their content posted next to objectionable material, which you sometimes see on YouTube. So Sajit Sivanandan, country manager for Google Malaysia, assured that YouTube would provide a brand-safe environment. Looks like things have been going smoothly so far, because over the past few months, we've already seen some of these different brands incorporating their YouTube channel to their ongoing campaigns. Mars, as I mentioned earlier, used it for its Big Fight campaign. And we also saw Dutch Lady promoting on its YouTube page the World Milk Day campaign, which aimed at collecting cheers from Malaysians for our Olympic athletes.
Right.
So we even saw a local video created by Malaysians called My Generasi go viral, and it has so far received over 1.7 million views.
Not too bad, huh? And I think once people can see through what's available in Malaysia, people actually have interest. It's just that when we see from the global page, you see what's popular globally, and Malaysians generally like things that are centric to our...
That's true. At least
but that's just people in general anyway.
I don't.
And ad of the week.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity took place about 2 weeks ago. The Cannes Lions is the world's biggest annual awards show and festival for professionals in the creative communications industry. Recently, Leo Burnett and Kill held its 25th Cannes Predictions, where they showcased the shortlisted entries. And this is one of them. It's by Gray New York, called Cable Effect, for US-based satellite TV company DirecTV. It's quite a funny one. Have a listen.
When you pay too much for cable, you throw things. When you throw things, people think you have anger issues. When people think you have anger issues, your schedule clears up. When your schedule clears up, you grow a scraggly beard. When you grow a scraggly beard, you start taking in stray animals. And when you start taking in stray animals, you can't stop taking in stray animals. Stop taking in stray animals. Get rid of cable and upgrade to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
And here's another one that's quite funny as well.
When your cable's on the fritz, you get frustrated. When you get frustrated, your daughter imitates. When your daughter imitates, she gets thrown out of school. When she gets thrown out of school, she meets undesirables. When she meets undesirables, she ties the knot with undesirables. And when she ties the knot with undesirables, you get a grandson with a dog collar. Don't have a grandson with a dog collar. Get rid of cable and upgrade to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
And on that note, they'll be back again next week for another episode of Advertising and Marketing from Advertising Marketing Magazine, Marketing Mojo. Malathi Sanaya and Wong Elaine, and you'll be back to the weekly stories. And on that note, I hope you've got some highlights of what's been happening for the first half of this year. Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.